Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, Darren.
How's it going there? How's it going there, Mr. John Trumbull? How are you in this middle of March? Mid-March. March Madness.
March Madness. Daylight saving time kicked in.
So yeah.
How'd you... an hour. We sprung ahead.
How'd you fare with that? Are you discombobulated as I am? Are you...
I'm generally okay right now. I'm okay with this. Okay. I like it better in the fall when you get that hour back.
Yeah.
But you know it's fine. We have the longer days now, so you know that's much better.
Don't
have to, you know, the seasonal depressive disorder is, the end is in sight. So
yes.
I just have regular depression now. So
yay. Regular original recipe depression.
That's right. Now my depression is caused by factors in my life.
Hooray! There you go.
Yay!
That's a step forward, I say.
Sure. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. With the loss of an hour's sleep, I'm a little wonky, but just because I'd stayed up all night watching SNL and then taking notes, and then I usually like to wake up first thing in the morning, make some coffee, and then rewatch all the sketches to make sure I didn't miss anything on the...
We work hard for this podcast, people.
Oh, so damn hard. We work hard for the money. For no money.
Yeah.
So hard for it, honey.
Mm-hmm. So you better treat us right.
Better or treat us right.
What we're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
And the episode that Darren stayed up so late watching... is the episode we're talking about this week. It's Josh Brolin returning to host for the third time. Ariana Grande coming back to musical guest for... was she also the third time, I think?
Yes, this was her third time. The first time was the Chris Pratt episode. Second time, she hosted and musical guested. Mm-hmm. So this is a try... This, not try. This is her third time.
Her third time. And this is season 49, episode 14 from March 9th, 2024. So, I don't know. I mean, you were looking forward to Josh Brolin coming back, I think, right?
I think so. I mean, you know, Josh Brolin, he's been around in Hollywood forever. He's been, you know, of course, he's probably best known for, like Goonies. The younger people probably know him best for being Thanos and, Cable from Deadpool. Mm-hmm. The cinephiles. The more snootier select movie fan probably will know him from his works in the Coen Brother films. No Country for Old Men, Hail Caesar, I believe he was in as well. And True Grit. But yeah, he's just like one of those guys that's like a solid actor to spin around for a while. And I will say this, like in this episode, I kind of forgotten how kind of weird he can get sometimes. Like he's a bit of a weirdo. Like in a way, like I wasn't expect, like almost at like Willem Dafoe, Christopher Walken levels of kind of oddball.
There were some definite weirdness moments in this week's episode of SNL, and
they made some big swings in this one. But at the same time, I don't think this was weird in the bad way. It was like weird in all right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it was a good weird.
I would agree. It was more of a good weird than a bad weird.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, like after watching this stuff, I was like, wow, Roland's a bit of a nut.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll cover that during his monologue portion, I think.
I was like, what's happening now?
But speaking of weirdness, we've got the State of the Union cold open. We had, we had the State of the Union this week. You probably didn't watch. You had a comedy show on Thursday, as I recall. So
I did. Not pro comedy show. First Thursday of every month at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come on out, guys.
Yeah. Next one in April. I got to watch most of the State of the Union, and I missed like some of the tail end of Biden's speech, and then I started watching the rebuttal, and then I just had to mute it.
Yeah, see, that was the weird thing, because like I didn't hear much about the actual State of the Union online, but I did see more and more people talk about that Republican rebuttal, to the point that some of the SNL fans that I follow they're like, oh no, this is going to be a cold open, isn't it?
And people were saying that like instantly. And I was immediately seeing speculation online of like, oh, who's going to play Katie Britt in the cold open? You know, who's it going to be? And there were some jokes. I even retweeted one about all the, you know, the various cast members clamoring to be the one to do it. And I saw some people saying like, oh, they've got to bring Kristen Wiig back and to do it.
What?
Why? What?
I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Like for some reason, people don't like stunt casting. But then again, when something like this happens, their mind immediately goes to stunt casting, where they're like, oh, we got to bring back Kristen Wiig. We got to bring back Cecily Strong. It's like, yeah, no, this is what we had stunt casting for like a number of seasons, and
yeah,
we all got kind of sick and tired of it. So let's rely on the cast we got.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it worked when they had Tina Fey as Sarah Palin, because that was just such an obvious one. And that worked out very well for the show. But yeah, I don't get this insistence of, let's bring back this person who was a cast member years ago to play this person in the news. I don't get that, especially when the cast is as jam-packed as it is now.
Yeah. So
like there are, I could easily see Chloe Fineman do it. I could easily see Chloe Trost doing it. I could see Heidi doing it. I mean,
yeah,
there are any number of people who could have done it in the cast.
Yeah, let's focus on giving the cast member roles. Because, like, again, we had that year where, like you said, we had Tina Fey come in to do Palin, and then we had Larry David come in as Bernie Sanders, and then Matt Damon came in to do
Kavanaugh. Yeah.
Kavanaugh. And then, you know, De Niro came in to do...
Paul Rudd came in.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller came in as Shapiro, I think it was. And
yeah, like James Corden came in, and then Jimmy Fallon, and then it just got to the point where we're just so saturated.
It got ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's scale
that. That was like the one good thing about the pandemic, was it kind of put a stop to that.
Mother Nature was like, no more.
This cold open we had, you know, Mikey Day as Biden, and you know, the general consensus on Biden during the State of the Union was he was much more energetic and much more fired up and all that, which kind of defeated the whole Sleepy Joe popular interpretation. We had, you know, Michael Longfellow as Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Punky as Kamala Harris. Neither one had any dialogue. They just had to react a little bit.
Yep.
We had Heidi cameoing as Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was her predictable, insane self.
Yep.
You saw how she was dressed, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
right?
It's so performative at this point. It's like,
yeah,
it really is just wrestling at this point.
Here
comes the heel. Yeah. It's like, really? Is this all politics is now? Just fucking.
Yeah. And like, you know, when Biden saw her, he literally just laughed and just like, we like sort of backed away in mock fear. And then, you know, you see her, she was just sort of like, oh, well, this didn't really land like I was hoping.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like, because I think at one point, like, when the MAGA movement was just starting, like, people were genuinely disturbed if you came in wearing, like, one of those red hats. It did kind of strike fear in the hearts of people. But now I think it's just become a punchline at this point. It's just like a joke. It doesn't really scare anybody. Yeah, it doesn't scare anybody anymore like it used to.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of weird that we basically had Mikey introduce the Katie Britt part, and then we cut back to Ego as Abby Phillip from CNN to like introduce it again.
That was a little weird. It was a little weird how like they really didn't have much for the State of the Union part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Katie Britt part like literally took up the rest of the cold open. Like I think the State of the Union was like 2 minutes, and then the rest of the 4 minutes was all Katie Britt.
Yeah, I feel like that was, they really only did that just to give the Katie Britt stuff context.
Yeah.
And then surprisingly, as Katie Britt, we had Scarlett Johansson.
Wow, how'd they get her?
Yeah, you know, so speaking of stunt casting.
There you go.
I honestly can't get too upset about it because, you know, Scarlett Johansson knocked it out of the park, man.
Yeah, and she's also pretty much kind of part of what kind? I would say she is like part of the SNL family. She's in the Five Timers mm-hmm. Club. She's literally married to Jost. I mean, she's kind of like an honor. I guess you say an honorary cast member in a way.
I would say she's probably in that realm. I mean, the same as, you know, somebody like a Steve Martin who comes by and is just like, you know, they've never been in the cast, but they might as well have been at this point.
Yeah, like an Alec Baldwin or even like a Melissa McCarthy, I guess. We're just like, they're kind of in the SNL family, so you can't get too mad at it.
Yeah, yeah. And they had some good lines. I think they did a nice job of parroting how insane that rebuttal was. You know, she said, like, I'm going to be performing an original monologue called This Country is Hell. She said, I'm the craziest bitch in the Target parking lot.
Yeah, I did like how she kind of switched it to talking about how she was selling the bejeweled cross necklace that she was wearing, and then they put up the QVC graphics.
Yeah, the Home Shopping Network stuff. Yeah, that was fun. And, you know, she's like, I'm going to pivot to a shockingly violent story about sex trafficking and then get weirdly seductive for no reason. Oh, and by the way, the story about sex trafficking was pretty much totally, well, no, I don't want to say totally discounted, but it was very out of context and she was lying about it because she, like, the implication was that this was happening in the United States near the border under a Biden administration's watch. And this one person on TikTok, I don't have his name handy right now. He went through, did a little research and found out that this was a story from a woman and it happened a number of years ago in Mexico during the George W. Bush administration. So wow. About 20 years ago.
Okay. It's weird that none of the other news outlets are talking about that.
Yeah, it is nuts. It is nuts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was one part I didn't get in this, like, where I guess I would have had to have watched the original rebuttal to get this. Yeah. But, like, when she's stirring the teacup and then it cuts to Keenan, like, a Get Out style. Is that, like, the teacup thing? That's something she did in the rebuttal, like, for reals?
I don't remember her ever actually picking up a teacup. I think they were just making a Get Out reference.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So yeah,
fair enough. I didn't know if that was...
She was just disturbing, like, the people in Get Out. I didn't 100% get that because I still haven't seen Get Out, I have to confess.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And nothing against, I'm not opposed to seeing it. I just never got around to it. And
no, it's very good. It's
yeah, no, and I don't doubt it. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I still want to catch it. It is on, I think, Amazon Prime now. So I have put it on my list, but I haven't gotten any farther than that.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I would say Scarlett ScarJo did a pretty good job here. Like overall, I kind of dug this cold open. I thought it was all right.
It was good. I mean, it was so obvious. Like pretty much everybody knew that this was what they were going to do. So yeah. And Scarlett Johansson, she nailed it. I, you know, no notes. I mean, she's such a good actress. She was able to nail all the kind of insanity. Cause if, I don't know if you watch clips of it, but yeah, that lady was just around the bend.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Whew. So,
oh, I mean, she was just like, it was very performative and she's just not a good actress. So it came off as unintentionally comical because of that, because she was like, you know, President Biden. And it, you know, it just had very, you know, Karen wanting to talk to the manager energy to it.
Yeah. I think that's what everybody was making fun of it online for. Cause it looked clearly it was fake. And
yeah,
like Dave made fun of it, that in the cold open, which is like, Biden, he's just performing. I'm not performing. I'm not.
Yeah, and then she like puts her hand up to her brow, and yeah, it was, you know, and also just the absurdity of, like, you know, she's in the kitchen.
Yes, because women love kitchen.
I'm so sick of that. I remember back during the 2016 election, they did that with Hillary. I think for one of her appearances at the Democratic convention or something like that. And I was just like, can we just stop this, really, please? You know, You know, why are we putting women politicians in the kitchen? It's so dumb.
Because you got to show the women that you're either equal, and women are in the kitchen, according to all the male all the male politicians and whatnot.
It's just so dumb.
Really is. It's dumb. It's dumb.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I like the cold open. I thought it did well.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad so far.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get into our monologue. Josh Brolin strolling out on the stage.
Yeah. 12 years since he last saw it, last there in 2012. I guess that was for the third Men in Black movie, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Which he's very funny in that.
Yes, yes.
He's a good Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's solid. Mm-hmm. He talks about how the first time he hosted was the first time for a musical guest that not a lot of people might know about, named Adele.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time he hosted was musical guest Gautier. And now he's just somebody that we used to know.
Ha ha, because that was his one hit. And he hasn't done much since. His career's plateaued.
He peaked way too soon.
Yeah. And then he got into sort of a weird story in the last couple of weeks where he wrote a poem about his Dune 2 co-star Timothy Chalamet, which is apparently a thing that Josh Brolin does.
Yeah, like I had to look that up, and yeah, it's true. Like back in February, it kind of came out that he was just inspired to write some poetry about Timothy Chalamet, and the poem, he read the exact poem on the monologue, and it mm-hmm. called attention to Timothy's cheekbones, youth-laden eyes, and lips of a certain poetry.
I mean, yeah, 100% normal thing to do. Yep.
Exactly. If I had a nickel for every poem I wrote about Trumbull, I mean, I'd have so many nickels.
You'd have like two. I think you'd have a dime. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I could almost make a phone call.
And only one of them used the word Nantucket.
Oh, so. Well, yes, of course. That's how most of my poems start.
Right. And
yeah, so then he talks about that, and then he talks about how he wrote a poem for Keenan. And going into Keenan's ageless face, sultry eyes, and sugar cookie cheeks.
Yep.
That makes him want to say, what up with that? Yeah.
And Keenan is not at all disturbed by this.
No, I do like how Keenan is off to the side watching this while holding a glass of wine, like mm-hmm. almost like Lorne Michaels style.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, say what now? you know, it was cute. It was, yeah, and then we ended with where he compares doing SNL to doing cold plunges.
Yeah, and like out of nowhere, he just talks about how he does cold plunges. I was like, wait, what?
And then he strips down and gets into a tub full of ice water. The comparison was, he says, it's scary, it's exhilarating, your penis is in your stomach. And then he gets into a tub full of ice water. And he keeps his socks on, which I found very weird.
Yeah, because like, I mean, now you got wet socks on. Having wet socks on is like the worst feeling ever.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody likes that.
Yeah. So, yeah, so then he just takes the plunge, surrenders to the discomfort, gets into a tub of ice-cold water, screaming, I am inevitable.
Yeah.
It's quite a way to cap off your monologue.
What a weird way to end the monologue. I mean,
so weird!
It just felt like he dropped that tidbit that he likes doing ice plunges at some point during the week, and the people writing the monologue are like, okay, yeah, well, let's do that. That's our finish.
It's an interesting tidbit that he does ice plunges, but there's no natural way to segue into him doing it. So it really was just him talking about making this poetry about Keenan and be like, oh, by the way, I do cold plunges. Here I go. And then he just jumped into, just strips down to his skivvies and just, you know, steps into a big old tub of ice water.
Yeah, just like, very odd.
Very, very, very odd.
Okay. All right. So then we're going into our first sketch, bank robbery. By the way,
bank robbery.
All the sketches this week have super generic titles, even by SNL standards.
Yeah, I'm convinced that they're like AI generated. they're AI generated, like made in a way so that people can find them easily mm-hmm. when they do YouTube searches. I'm convinced.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we got a Chase Bank. We got a bunch of robbers come in, and then we've got Heidi and Brolin playing a couple, and they both start talking about how the robbers are going to have their way with them. And
yeah,
and Bowen's bank manager character is going to film it.
Right, exactly. Like they're basically like I said, Heidi and Brolin are the couple, and they're like, oh, I know how this goes. You're going to rob this bank, then you're going to grab me and take me to the vault and have your way with me. Well, just give it over, get it over with, you nasty boys.
Yeah.
And Heidi bends over, presenting
yes.
herself to the robbers
in the animal kingdom. Yes, and yes. at one point they've tied themselves up.
Yes.
Marcelo yeah. comes in as a third robber, and they're like, "Oh, great, a barely legal Latino."
It's like, I'm 31. I'm not barely legal. What are you talking about?
And then then we have like the robbers having more dialogue to cover the changes, and then we cut back to Heidi and Brolin, and now they're handcuffed and they're both in their underwear.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was so-so on this.
Yeah. Like, I do appreciate the energy that Heidi and mm-hmm. Brolin were bringing into it. I think that kind of kept it from totally kind of, petering out or just bottoming out. Mm-hmm. Where it's like they were really kind of committing to the bit and going in on it.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, you're just going to go and have your way with my supple wife?
Yeah.
And like, and them saying, "Oh, you're just gonna. I know how this goes. You're gonna take me back into the vault and lay me on a stack of quarters and make a smut film. Is that what you're gonna do?"
Yeah.
And it's like them kind of just amping it up and heightening it, saying, "Oh, we just opened up our marriage, and as long as I sleep with dudes," and just like really making it look like they're disgusted by it, but also at the same time very much turned on by it. And, much to the chagrin of the robbers and the people at the bank. At one point, mm-hmm. Ego, who works at the bank, says, "Can you guys just shut up so they can just rob us in peace?"
Yeah, yeah.
Like, little things like that. I was like, all right, this is something. But, yeah, like, I don't think it... I think the energy there was a little bit better than the actual, dialogue in the
mm-hmm.
sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll say that.
Yeah, okay. I'll go along with that.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't totally hate it, but I was like, it didn't quite... pop for me.
Sure.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that.
All right, Forrest, let's move on to the next one. Airplane song. This is a pre-tape. Andrew Dismukes is on an airplane. His phone and his Kindle are both dead. He's forgotten his phone charger and he doesn't want to pay for headphones. So he ends up singing a song about watching Josh Brolin, watching the movie Ad Astra, catty corner to him.
Yes, I mean, this is something, if you've been on a plane and you have no way to keep yourself entertained for like a long flight, like I think in the sketch he said it's a flight to Phoenix, it's going to be 3 hours, he has no phone, no Kindle, no iPad, and doesn't want to pay $30 for headphones. So what do? Well, you watch the movie that the person in front of you is watching without sound.
Yes.
Which I can't imagine, like... I mean, I don't know. Like, is that a way to keep yourself entertained? Like, not watching a movie you can't hear?
I mean, it's better than nothing. You just watch flickering images. This is why I bring a book on flights. Not a Kindle, an actual physical book.
Paper with ink on the page.
Like, yeah, never has to be recharged.
Yeah, how about that?
You just need a little bit of light.
That's right. The thing that charges it up. It's your imagination.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Take a look. It's in a book.
But yeah.
And then we have Keenan towards the end as the air marshal telling them both to shut up. This was all right. It was kind of like fun, weird, and I like that we're getting sort of a dream sequence type of thing. And Dismukes has like long hair and, a costume change for no reason.
Yeah, they go into the dream sequence where he has like a mullet, mm-hmm. like a long curly, almost like Michael Bolton, in his heyday mullet.
Yeah, Michael Bolton, Kenny G, that type of look.
Yeah, and like they sing the song about the you know kitty, like you said, watching from the kitty corner. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin has like this almost like Siegfried and Roy type of bouffant mm-hmm. in the dream sequence. Then the two of them confront each other, saying, mm-hmm. "Why don't you just play Sudoku instead of watching my movie?" And he's like, "Well, I don't know how to play Sudoku. Never learned the rules, and I'm not going to start now."
Yeah,
which yeah, I still don't know how to do Sudoku. It's just a bunch of numbers and boxes.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty easy, you know, once you learn the pattern. You know, it's basically like you don't repeat the number in any one row or column. So then you just kind of use that to logic your way out of where each number appears.
You've already lost me.
Okay. Well, I could illustrate it better than I could explain it verbally.
Numbers? No, thank you.
Okay. All right.
I don't fuck with numbers.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I thought this pre-tape was pretty cute enough. Mm-hmm. I liked how, you know, the whole plane starts singing with the song, and at the end we see Chloe Trost as the stewardess gets a little bit of a run at the very end. Mm-hmm. And she's got pipes. I thought this was a pretty cute sketch.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Next we have People Pleasers Support Group. This is just a, you know, exactly what it says on the tin. A bunch of people pleasers in a support group. They're struggling. They're all terrified of conflict, so they agree with literally everything everyone says. Or you know, or they don't, you know, if that's okay with you. You know, I don't know. I don't know what my opinion is. Wait, what did you think, Darren?
I got a kick out of this sketch for a couple of reasons. For one thing, this is a very simple, grounded, mm-hmm. like kind of slice of life sketch. Because like usually with SNL sketches, they kind of heighten things up to these insane, fantastical endings, and it gets mm-hmm. like absurd.
Yeah.
And this one kind of stays pretty grounded. It's literally just people on the stage and talking, and there's no real...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, yeah, there's no like real like super insane moments. Like everything that happens in this sketch is kind of plausible. Like could happen.
It could happen. It could happen to you. yeah, I enjoyed it. I could kind of relate to it because I can tend to be a bit of a people pleaser. Where it's like, you know, you don't want to offend somebody. You're terrified of conflict, so you don't stand up for yourself the way you should. And they did take it to some absurd extremes. Like, you know, Josh Brolin's character is like, "Well, I want to break up with my girlfriend." And Bone's like, "Yeah, you've been wanting to break up with her for a while. You really should end that relationship." And then he ended up proposing to her instead.
Yeah. And like Bowen saying like, "Oh, well, my boyfriend came home and he wanted to go out for dinner, but I already ate." And we ended up just going out and eating anyway, because that's fine. It's totally okay to have two dinners.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I liked how everyone, you know, just didn't want to put themselves out there, and they were just bending over backwards to agree with everybody else. We had Ariana Grande come in for a cameo towards the end, which was unexpected, but you know, but she did a nice job. I thought this was funny. This is probably my sketch of the week.
Yeah, I would say so. I liked Ariana had a couple lines in there that I feel like deserved more from the audience, but she didn't mm-hmm. get it. Like she was talking about how she was, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. Like, but I got hit by a car." And then she ends up apologizing to the car uh-huh. for hitting her.
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, car. Are you okay?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she talks about how she needs to quit her job. But then she said, "But you know, it's a great, but the job has great health insurance. And it's just so nice of them to pay me."
Yeah.
And like, but like that didn't get any laugh at all from the audience. I was like, that's a good joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that should have got a little bit more. But yeah, then you also see that Molly has a really bad haircut, mm-hmm. but you know, it was one of those things where like halfway through the haircut, she could see it was going to be a bad haircut, but she didn't want to upset her barber mm-hmm. or hairstylist. So she, Molly just kind of let it go. And in Molly's defense, Molly did give him a huge tip.
Yes. Yeah.
So... yeah, I got a kick out of this sketch. I'd also like the prayer they all say at the end. Grant me the serenity to say no, But if you're too busy with heaven, then no worries. Amen or amen, whatever you prefer.
Right, right. Yeah, I like this. This was a it was a fun premise, and they did a nice job with it. So
yeah, this was like a nice simple sketch, like no big super special effects needed. It was mm-hmm. like it's something that it sounds like it's like something like your neighboring sketch improv group could do. It's like pretty simple, mm-hmm. pretty bare bones.
Yeah, yeah. So I enjoyed it. Next, we had Wine and Cheese Night. It was a group of friends getting together for Wine and Cheese Night. And at one point, the couple's cat sits on Josh Brolin's lap. And we've got like this little cat puppet thing sitting on his lap.
And, yeah, yeah. And then the couple is like, oh, wow, the cat just went up to your lap. He didn't do that for anybody. You must have really good energy.
Yeah.
And then Josh Brolin, like, very moved by it and taken by it. It's like, oh, wow, this cat chose me. I guess I do have good energy. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And then later it crawls over to Devin's character. Brolin gets resentful and calls their cat a slut.
Yes. Just bust it open for anybody who will have an open lap.
Yeah, yeah. And then later he grabs the cat back from Devin, and the cat is like biting his arm and he's like bleeding. And then, you know, it ends as these sketches always do with the giant knife fight.
This was a weird one.
I liked how the weirdness escalated, though.
I do, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the absurdity of the cat puppet, I kind of liked. It was... I didn't love it, but it was fun and it was different. So,
yeah, like I did enjoy the weirdness of this one. I liked how because Brolin's character seemed so moved by the cat choosing his lap to be in.
Right.
They all asked him like, "Are you okay, man? Like, is everything okay at work?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, no, same old, same old. You know, just busy closing down nursing homes and turning them into Top Golfs."
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, "Hey, you know, what happens to all the old people in the nursing homes?" And he's like, "Oh, I don't know. I guess they're on the street." Anyway, I like that he's never even bothered to figure out, you know, where the people might be going. I enjoy the weirdness. I feel like Dismukes probably had a hand in writing this one.
He did. This one was written by Dismukes and Steven.
Nice. Okay.
Bright,
bright, perceptive guy.
Very, very nice. But yeah, I do like how, like the whole crux of this sketch is like the fact that this guy just needs like validation mm-hmm. from like and approval from this cat that makes him feel like he's a good person so much that he's willing to do anything for it.
Yeah.
Like he pretty much like gets so angry he screamed at all his friends, telling them, how this wine and cheese party sucks. Zero single chicks. Dudes are all mid. House smells like a fart. Everybody's ripping ass, ripping cheese farts. And just him flipping over the coffee table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like the flipping over the coffee table.
Yeah. Flipping over a table is always a big laugh.
Sure.
I find. Sure. It's always a good way to get a party started, I find. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, invite me to your parties, guys. You'll find out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Darren does love flipping over a table, especially if there's wine and cheese on it.
Yeah,
he gets and, hyped up people.
Yeah, and it is weird how like it did end with him pulling the cat off of Devin and forcing him onto his lap, and the mm-hmm. cat like biting him, and he's bleeding. And it's like, I need this cat in my life, and I will fight anybody who says otherwise. And like, I will die here.
Yeah,
for this cat. And he pulled out a switchblade, and then Dismukes pulled out another switchblade, and they both attack each other. Freeze frame. End of sketch.
Yep. Yep.
Such a weird one, but I didn't mind it.
I mean, certainly an unexpected ending. I did like that. Yeah, I liked how the weirdness escalated, and Dismukes is good at that.
Yes. And, I mean, speaking of weirdness, we got to talk Shrimp Tower.
Shrimp Tower. This is our next pre-tape. Vienna, 1893. We got... Josh Brolin and several of the guys, they're having this, you know, fancy party, and Josh Brolin has invented a shrimp tower, which, you know, like one of those things where you got the glasses stacked up on top of each other, and it's, you know, they're all shrimp cocktails.
Yes, because the Archduchess is coming,
mm-hmm.
and all these men are here to woo her, to win her hand in marriage.
Yes.
So Josh Brolin's character, Kinsley, in a way to his attempt to win her over, he is going to impress her with, like you said, a shrimp tower.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so, like, infatuated. Yes,
they're the thinking man's mozzarella sticks, Darren.
I was like, what?
I enjoyed that. Look, I would be impressed by a shrimp tower. I must admit, you know, if I go to a party and there's a potato bar and or a shrimp tower, I am staying at that party. A nice plate of shrimp, I am a happy man.
Hot damn! Yeah,
I will be staying by that shrimp plate the entire effing night, and I will discreetly eat half of that shrimp plate.
Right.
I will discreetly eat 3/4 of that shrimp plate.
Yeah,
I am finishing off that shrimp plate.
Your weight in shrimp, good sir.
That's right. My weight in shrimp. I enjoy the shrimp, people.
Yeah.
Eat a tail first. I may have a problem.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, you might have a shrimp addiction.
But shrimp is so good, man. Have you had it? It's awesome.
Oh my god! When did you turn into Bubba Gump?
I don't know. I want to go get some shrimp now. I don't know. This gets really made me crave shrimp. I haven't had shrimp in forever.
Do you have a favorite way of eating it, or just anyway is good?
I mean, I don't eat it tail first, unlike Josh Brolin in the sketch. I did like, by the way, how he said early on in the sketch, if anything were to happen to my shrimp tower, I'd kill myself. I was like, I was rewatching the sketch, and I was like, that's some good foreshadowing there. Nice.
Well
going.
Done. Nice yeah. Going. I, again, second time I saw it, I picked up on that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And we have Sarah Sherman as the Archduchess. And at one point, she's getting a little too close to the shrimp tower, starts jostling it a bit, and so he pushes Sarah out the window because he thinks she's about to knock over the shrimp tower.
Yeah, like he's become so infatuated with the shrimp tower that he needs to protect it at all costs.
Right.
Even though he got the shrimp tower to win over the Archduchess.
Right.
He's quick to push. he pushes Sarah out a window, like you said, she falls down, and because the shrimp tower is more important than the Archduchess at this point.
Yeah, I liked how cartoony and absurd this got very, very quickly. And I feel like, you know, somebody just fell in love with the phrase shrimp tower, and they were like, we are going to say the phrase shrimp tower as many times as we possibly can in this 4-minute sketch.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes, yeah, they just get the, you know, that little bugaboo in there in your head, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to just keep saying this over and over. Shrimp tower, shrimp tower, shrimp tower. I love the visual of we see like Sarah, her Archduchess character, sort of crawling back up in the background, and Josh Brolin just like lobs a bottle of champagne at her.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was great. Again, just very cartoony energy. And at the very end, he accidentally knocks over his own shrimp tower, and so he jumps out the window himself.
Yeah.
This was so weird. I couldn't help but love it.
I agree. This one was, again, like I said at the beginning of this fight, they took some big swings in this episode. Yeah. This is probably one of the biggest. It was.
Yeah.
It's so out there and weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, damn it if it doesn't work.
Yeah, this one, it was written by Dan Bula, Sarah Sherman, and the Please Don't Destroy Boys, I believe.
Yes, directed by Mike Diva.
Yeah, great stuff. And a great look to it, too. I mean, it looked like they spent some serious coin on this with all the costuming and all that. It looked really impressive.
Yeah,
Funnier sketches of the week.
I would agree. This was a good one. Home run.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and from there we go to the Shonda talk show.
Shonda talk show. Is he cheating or nah?
Yeah, is he cheating or nah?
That's our topic for this week. We have Ego as the talk show host talking about whether Heidi's boyfriend is cheating on her. Her character Jasmine suspects her husband Jerry is stepping out.
Yeah, it basically takes the form of these daytime talk shows like your Springer and... Mm-hmm. Maury Povich shows where, you know, the audience is like, nah, he's a dog. You got to kick him to the curb.
Yeah, everybody has to weigh in on the situation. And
yeah, right. Yeah. And
her husband's so Heidi, tired and doesn't want to do anything. So she thinks he's cheating on her. And everyone's like, yeah, you should leave him, girl. And then they bring Jerry, the husband, out. It's Josh Brolin. And he's in a wheelchair because he broke his neck.
Right, because he went downtown on her so hard that she broke his neck. And of course, like, as soon as we see, I kind of saw this twist coming.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something happen because, like, I noticed that the husband or the boyfriend wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So, like part of me was thinking, all right, so there's something, if he's not there on stage, so like,
he must be in a wheelchair. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, or
whenever somebody isn't there, Darren is like, maybe they're in a wheelchair. It's a really weird thing.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Last month, gonna... a non-pro comedy show, so one of the comics didn't show up, and Darren was like, maybe they're in a wheelchair. And I'm like, that's a really weird leap to make, Darren. He's like, yeah, what? You can't prove they're not.
Yeah, maybe they're Ironside. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from, but it's a weird thing that Darren does.
It's where my mind goes, John.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I had a feeling, all right, something is wrong with the boyfriend or her husband or something. Mm-hmm. And then, like, sure enough, he came out. He was in a wheelchair, neck brace. And, of course, as soon as the audience sees, like, what the problem is with him, then mm-hmm. they all kind of become disgusted.
I like how Keenan just immediately noped out. He was like, nope, okay, I'm going. And, yeah, bit by bit, the audience leaves. Every time that we cut back to the shot of Sandra with her studio audience, a few more people have left.
Yeah, because like now they kind of feel bad with all the stuff they said. They're like, yeah, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. I did like that little twist on it because mm-hmm. I guess what this sketch, like part of my thinking was, well, as soon as Brolin comes out as Jerry in the wheelchair, then that's like kind of the big punchline.
Yeah.
So like, where do you go from there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the sketch really doesn't kind of escalate from there that much, but I did like the addition of the audience members like slowly leaving the studio. I thought that was a nice.
It helped give the sketch further momentum, which was nice.
Yes.
I liked when Marcelo, you know, got up to leave. He's like, "This is messed up. I'm going to go pray in Spanish."
Right.
And then we discover that Jerry is not the father of Jerry Jr. because Jerry Jr. is actually black. And Jerry hasn't been able to have sex in 5 years.
Yeah, but John, Heidi's father is Italian, so he could be.
Yeah,
she thought it was. That's another thing. There's like two kind of Italian jokes in this episode, and then that made me think of the Air Bud sketch from the last episode where mm-hmm. Sydney Sweeney says, "Oh, wow, you're so hairy. Are you Italian?" Like, part of me is thinking, are they doing like Italian jokes now, like throughout these episodes?
Well, since those are all Italian jokes, I will have to say yes, they are doing Italian jokes.
Okay. Mamma mia.
I think it is undeniable. They are doing Italian jokes now.
Right. Sticking it to the Italians.
I hadn't noticed that pattern, but it is an undeniable one.
They do. They drop another Italian reference in one of the sketches. And yeah, and then the Sydney Sweeney. So I think Italians might
what
be
was
their
the
new
other
go-to.
Italian joke?
The Sandwich King sketch.
Okay, okay. I did not notice this pattern, but okay, all right.
We'll get there. I see what you're doing, SNL. I see you. You okay. are seen.
Are you saying SNL is racist against Italians?
I'm not saying that. I'm not directly saying that.
You don't have to say it.
But I mean, writing's on the wall.
The implication is clear. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. this was
okay. It didn't really send me in a big way.
Yeah, like I feel like if it didn't have the audience members leaving, it would have kind of been a bit of a flop. It didn't mm-hmm. totally, but yeah, the audience members leaving gives it a little bit more oomph, mm-hmm. but it's not, doesn't quite get there for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, overall, I thought that sketch was so.
All right. Should we talk about our musical guest for the week, Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande. Two songs off her new album, Eternal mm-hmm. Sunshine, that just came out a few days ago. We Can't Be Friends, parentheses, Wait for Your Love.
Mm-hmm. And all in lowercase for some reason.
Yeah, that's a thing that I've noticed a lot of new musicians are doing, where they're putting all their song titles in lowercase letters. Is that like the new hip thing?
I don't know. Is it? Yeah, maybe it's a Gen Z thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Is it like when, like, before when people used to replace the S in words with dollar signs?
Oh, yeah, back in the Kesha days.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. I think it's just because Kesha was popular.
I guess so. I don't know. But I remember, I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, We Can't Be Friends and Imperfect for You.
Yes.
I thought.
Who the hell was it that introduced her in the second number?
I don't know. I think it was her mom. Okay. Maybe.
I was just like, who is this random person? I don't. Yeah.
I should look that up, because like, I genuinely.
Very odd. Because I was like, I don't know who this person is, and I don't know if I'm supposed to know this person or what. She's okay. She has a good voice. First number didn't really stick in my memory. The second number, I didn't think much of the song. I don't have much to say about her musical number. You know, it's not my thing, obviously.
Yeah, no, it was nice. It was pretty. Yeah, it was okay. I thought both, you know, she does have a good voice, and yeah, they didn't wow me in any way. But
did
yeah,
she really have her hands tattooed, or were those just like henna tattoos?
I think that's real ink. Okay. And I'm looking it up now, and yes, confirmed, that was Ariana's mom.
Okay. Are we supposed to recognize Ariana's mom?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She kind of looked like Liza Minnelli to me for a minute, but like, yeah. I was like, yeah, that can't be Liza.
Why is Lucille too there? Oh, weird.
Okay. Mother. Mother. Yeah, I thought they were okay. I really didn't have too many notes for them. I thought they were just nice.
You know, we're middle-aged men. We don't have much of an opinion on Ariana Grande, man.
Yeah, like, oh, this is nice, pleasant.
Yeah, she does have a good voice. I will give her that.
Yeah, it's not like Yas Queen
material. I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, it's not like Yas Queen Slay. You are my world.
Yeah.
This is everything.
Yeah.
I am delivered and the like.
Right.
It's fine.
All right. So weekend update. Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Yeah. No death segments on this week.
Very unusual. I mean, I could not tell you the last time they did that.
I could, because...
Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah. Well, our good friend at the... Saturday Night Network just put out the fact. The last time this happened was when John Mulaney hosted back in 2022. So it wasn't that long ago, but it feels longer, actually.
I mean, we've gotten very used to having at least one death segment with some, you know, wacky update character. This is just Justin Che telling jokes for 6 minutes and then punching out.
Yep.
Like, oops. Okay. All right.
Oops, all jokes.
And it's, yeah. It's very unusual. It's like, it's weird how fast the segment goes when you don't have any death segments eating up, you know, several minutes of screen time.
Yeah, like on YouTube, the clip is like 6 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Like pretty much the length of a cold open. I was like, oh, wow, we're in and out.
Yeah, it was, I mean, even without any death segments, it was short. So I don't know, I guess... They either had some plan that didn't quite work, and so they axed him, or they just didn't have any. I don't know. What was going on?
I don't know what the hell happened, but here we are. Just pure, raw, uncut Justin Che.
Yeah. I think my favorite joke, honestly, was when they had the photo of Kristen Sinema up in the orange dress with the blue pearls, and they said she looked like all the Flintstones at once.
It's a good one.
And also, like, Che was getting some odd reactions to a lot of his jokes, and at one point he's just like, should I just go home?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was the one about the influencer threw her tampon at the bouncer for throwing her out of the club.
Yeah.
It's like, well, at least we know now why she was acting that way.
Folks, it's Michael Che. How do you not know how that joke is going to go? Come on.
Yeah, like the audience is like, oh.
The mock sexism is what he does, and really well.
This is bread and butter, baby.
I mean, ironic sexism is kind of his thing, man.
Yeah. I do like how Joe's called Trump a current reverse mortgage applicant. That was a good one. The one joke about how 30 Rock Studios was infested with bed bugs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I haven't heard about that either. Yeah.
Yeah. That made me think, like, oh, wow, hope everybody at the SNL's all right.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't in the audience this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine if that's, like, the first time people heard about that. They're like,
there had
wait,
to be somebody. Yeah, there had to be somebody in the audience who didn't was like, what? Wait, what? Wait, somebody, wait, this is a bit, right? Right?
Like somebody visiting from Alabama or something.
They
like,
start,
what
just start scratching furiously.
Like, ah, damn. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
This how to tell you?
Yeah. You know, just an okay update. Nothing exceptional, I would say.
Yeah, just some good, solid jokes. Yeah, for the most part, I thought this was all right. It was okay. Like, I didn't have too much to say about this one, but yeah.
Yeah. Next, we have Moulin Rouge. Honestly, the funniest thing in this sketch for my money was the intro when they just said, "You're watching PBS, you librarian-looking ass."
That was hilarious.
That got me. I mean, that got such a laugh that Mikey Day had to pause his intro for a few seconds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like,
he had to hold.
He's like, oh wow, that they really like that one.
Yeah, and honestly, I just don't think the sketch that followed quite lived up to that.
Yeah. So basically, it's Mikey Day kind of introducing because it's Oscar season. Oscars are tonight as we record this. And he was talking about another Oscar-nominated hit film, Moulin Rouge, and how one of the biggest, which I still haven't seen, but like one of the biggest scenes in that film is the elephant love medley, where it's like a bunch of love songs kind of strung together in a medley. But he says, well, did you know that in the original taping, that medley was even longer because they didn't know which songs they could clear. So they have other songs stitched together. And now let's watch some of those other medleys. So in this sketch, it's just Bowen and Ariana Grande in Moulin Rouge singing the love song medleys. Like there's one that kind of starts off.
Moulin Rouge, by the way, movie that came out in 2001. We are reaching back 23 years for this sketch.
Wow. I totally forgot about that.
Weird choice, man.
It's a weird choice, but yeah, so like this one, it's them kind of, it's Ariana and Bowen who, from what I hear, are actually really good friends in real life. Mm-hmm. They hang out quite a bit. Okay. So it's them doing song medleys. Like they start off singing, you know, Paul McCartney's silly love song that goes into, Loveless, That's Up Where We Belong. That goes in TLC's Creep. Mm-hmm. That goes into the Happy Birthday to You song, because that's the one song they were sure they could clear.
Yeah, yeah. You know that Happy Birthday used to be under copyright?
It did?
Yeah, there was, the family of the person who wrote the song, like, you could not sing Happy Birthday on TV without, like, paying royalties on it. So it used to be a thing that that TV shows had to avoid. Now it's in the public domain, and so you can sing Happy Birthday all you want and not have to pay jack shit. We could sing Happy Birthday right now, you and me.
Yeah, we could do it.
I'm not saying we're going to, but we could.
I'd rather not.
And that's the power. My God.
We have the power. Yes.
All right, write this down, people. This is the first time I think Darren has ever refused to sing anything on this podcast.
Mark this day in mark this day, people.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it took over 275 episodes, but we finally got there.
We got there. We found a song.
Darren is like, no, I'm not going to sing that.
I mean, I'll sing the Stevie Wonder version, the black version, but the the regular is like, no, there's no soul to that. No funk.
Actually, it was one of my favorite episodes of Sports Night was where Josh Charles' character, Dan Rydell, he discovers because he sang Happy Birthday on the air to his co-host that the network now has to pay royalties for that. And then, and so he decides, well, now I'm going to just select a different copyright-free song to sing to various people on their birthdays. And so he has everybody in the office pick out a different copyright-free song. It was a kid's subplot. That's how I found out that Happy Birthday was under copyright. We are free from the shackles.
Free from the shackles. And Sportsnet is such an underrated show. The show was so damn good.
I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but pick up the box set, people. God damn, that's a good show.
Like, I remember watching that, like, when it aired, and I really felt like I was the only one watching it. Because, like, I didn't hear anybody talk about it.
It was you and me. You and I, we did not know each other when that was airing back in, like, 1998, 99. But we were bonded even then. We were the ones watching Sports Night.
That's right. We were the one keeping that thing on the air. I do remember seeing, like, TV Guy put it on their cover for 1 week. We were like, oh, like Sports
Night. It was one of their best shows you're not watching. Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. Sports Night. You could buy it on, like, Apple TV and Google Play and Amazon, but it's not streaming anywhere.
Crime.
Blah, blah. Crime. Criminal.
Criminal. Yeah. Just go buy it on DVD or Blu-ray, people.
Yes. Get the box set of Homicide and Sports Night.
Yes, absolutely. Physical media. Watch my favorite shows of the late 90s. This is all I'm asking.
Yes. Say it with your chest.
Yes.
this sketch, I thought it was cute enough. It seems like a sketch for, like, theater kids.
It didn't do much for me because it was just like the joke was like we're doing a medley of random songs, you know. So it was kind of like one of those, in the Pitch Perfect movies when they key off into another a cappella song from some random word in the last line they did. It was kind of like those.
Yeah, it almost kind of reminded me of the old the Culps sketches with Anna Gasteyer and Will Ferrell where they play the two. The two people singing, like, because, like, in this one, they start singing U2's In the Name of Love, which goes into Waiting for Tonight, which goes into 1 Week by Bare Naked Ladies, which goes into Wonderwall.
Right.
Which goes into I Feel Like a Woman and ends with Happy Birthday to You.
Yeah.
And it's you can clearly see that Bowen and Ariana are having a great time.
They seem to be having a lot of fun, but I don't think. The songs weren't really random or nonsensical enough for me to be really amused by it. It's like, oh, well, now they're going into this song for no reason. Yeah. I like the line, you know, you've coughed blood into a napkin. That's movie for dying. That was cute because I think in Moulin Rouge, like, Nicole Kidman's character is dying of consumption or something. Because it takes place in the 1890s and everyone died of consumption in the 1890s. So I think that's what she's dying of.
That was a cool way to die back then.
Sure. All the hipsters were doing it. I've never seen Moulin Rouge either because I'm, you know, Baz Luhrmann, you know.
Oh, really? I didn't know this. You're not a fan of Baz?
He's not my cup of tea. Like, I've seen a few of his movies and he's very out there, very over the top, very in your face. I'm not a big Baz Luhrmann guy.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I know. I thought you were like kind of a bit of a theater buff. So that's why
I do like the theater. I'm not saying I hate all his stuff. I'm just saying his stuff is usually not my cup of tea because it's just, it's very in your face.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't like things in my face. I like, I like a nice distance. I like at least an arm's length.
Yeah. Get it out of my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Give me a nice Aaron Sorkin. I much prefer a Sorkin to a Luhrmann.
There you go. Ooh, wow. All right. I did not know this.
I mean,
And then we also have Brolin coming as like sort of the ringmaster.
Right.
Him saying speaking French like Gitche Gitche Ya Ya Mama. Right. And
yeah, because that was a song that was tying in with the Moulin Rouge movie, I believe.
Right, exactly. And then it ends with them singing another medley with I Will Always Love You going into Your Song by Elton John, then going into the Happy Birthday song, and then ending with a song from Wicked, which is like a little, you know, wink and a nod because...
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because like both... Movie. Well, and him too. Like Bowen Yang is going to be in
Wicked. Right. Yeah, he has a small part in the movie. Yeah, I remember him popping up in the trailer.
Yeah, so that's like a nice little wink and a nod to the movie that they're both going to be in.
Okay. All right.
So yeah.
A little stealth plug in there.
Yeah.
How soon is that thing opening?
I believe it comes out like during the holidays, either Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Oh, okay. So it's a ways off. All right.
Yeah. It's coming out this year for sure. But I forget. Right. I forgot if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah. Because I mean, it had a Super Bowl spot. So I was just thinking, oh, yeah, it's probably coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I thought this was charming enough. I thought it was cute. I mean, maybe not the best, but it was just like, all right, that's adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I had to say about it.
Yeah. You know, this is one that I think was kind of entertaining the cast more than the audience.
Yes, very much so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we have another one or two that are coming up like that. Next, we have Sandwich King with... We got some office workers. They've just got out of this long meeting. They're about to get lunch. And then Josh Brolin comes up as Tommy the Sandwich King.
Oh.
And he's disappointed because they've all ordered pizza and they don't have any use for his services.
Right. And of course, he is all sad and like, well, I guess you guys don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
And then he stares off in the distance and we hear Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For from the Barbie movie.
Right.
Playing in the background.
Which I think is up for an Oscar tonight.
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, by the time you folks listen to this, the Oscars will be over, and you'll know if it won. Is that up for an Oscar? It is up for an Oscar. I know, like, the I Just Ken song is up for an Oscar.
Yes, that is
for sure. And Gosling's going to be performing that.
Yeah, I mean, that they performed that song at the Grammy, so I kind of got to imagine it's up for an Oscar, right?
It's got to be, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie did well for itself. It wouldn't surprise me if it has two Best Song nominations.
Oh, yeah. It did very well. Oh, yeah. Oh, it did very well.
So anyway, yeah. So he sings that possibly Oscar-winning song or not Oscar-winning song. I don't know. I'm saying there's no way for science to determine at this time if that song won an Oscar or not.
Absolutely.
You know?
And, yeah, I don't know about this sketch. It kind of... kind of goes all over the place.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It was more odd than funny, I thought.
Yeah, because like I mean, they kind of go back to it too, because where the Sandwich King is like, well, I guess I'll give these sandwiches to the guys in accounting, and then like, well, we actually overheard that they're gonna order from this Indian place, so then he's all despondent again. And then it kind of takes this turn where it's like, well, I've been giving you sandwiches and stuff, guys, for years. You're not going to buy any of my sodas, at least? And then they point out that the sodas were actually refilled, and there's no caps on the soda.
They're sealed with tin foil at the top, and the colors are all wrong. They're like, I don't think Coke is like a light blue.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what, I can't recycle? And then he offers them pickles in like a Listerine bottle. You know... funny, odd, random detail, but you know, it still didn't make me laugh in a big way.
Yeah, and then they're trying to cheer him up, saying, "Oh no, we like you. You're you know, we like you for who you are. You don't have to be our sandwich guy. We like you because you know you're funny." And then he starts to tell a joke about two Italian queers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was the other Italian thing. Well, that's not quite an Italian joke, is it? We didn't hear the full joke, so.
Yeah, that's true. But then he gives them sandwiches, and they're like feel bad, so they take the sandwiches, and the sandwiches are super moldy and gross, and they smell bad. And he's like, what? I got to get a new fridge.
Yeah.
And then they refuse to eat it, except for Sarah, who's like, oh, this looks okay.
Yeah.
She takes a bite, and then she, like, I guess crosses her eyes and dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Something happened to her.
Yeah, and then he's like, you owe me $200, and then that's the end.
Yeah, just weird random ending. I don't know. Yeah, just a lot of randomness.
Yeah, this one, I don't know, this one was definitely one of the weaker ones, I thought. Like, they kind of didn't know where they wanted to go with it, and the ending is super weak.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, are you commenting on the fact that, like, the sandwich guys kind of get left behind and they don't really need him anymore? Or are you focusing on the fact that he's a terrible sandwich guy who gives you moldy sandwiches and, you know, Listerine pickles? Like, it's like, this one kind of had no, yeah. It was odd and didn't really have any focus.
Yeah, it didn't really land for me. So.
Yeah, not really. And now and we're up to our
things being off balance.
Heyo! I was actually pretty
from Temecula.
I was shocked that this was the 10-1.
You think it would have been earlier in the show?
I think so. I mean, just because, like, Lisa from Temecula is a kind of popular reoccurring character.
This is what, like the third one or the fourth one that they
this
got?
This is the third one.
The third one. Okay. It just seems like four. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because,
the
like, I mean.
Certainly seemed pleased. She got an applause break when, you know, when they heard the word Temecula and then Ego enters as Lisa from Temecula.
Yeah. So, I mean, in this guest, so we have Punky, we have Bowen, Trost, and Brolin at a sports bar. Mm-hmm. And they're all, you know, having wings and whatnot. And we see that Punky has like a Knicks t-shirt. She's cheering for the Knicks that they're playing the game on the flat screen. And then they're all like, oh, wow, I didn't know you were such a Knicks fan. And are you from New York? And they were like, no, I kind of adopted the team. I'm not from New York. I'm originally from Temecula. Soon as I heard that, I was like, oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And blammo. Ego comes out as Lisa from Temecula. Like, I thought this would have been up earlier in the show, just because, like you said, like, people do recognize Lisa from Temecula. She does have some cachet, and she is one of the few reoccurring characters SNL has on the show, so I thought they would have, like, put that up on the front a little bit more.
I think it was properly placed.
Ooh, all right.
I don't get why this wasn't just a one-off. You know, for me, it goes in the Debbie Downer category. They did it once. It worked better than expected because people were breaking in the sketch. But I think that's just a one-time thing, and you can't really replicate that. And I think it's foolish to try.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lisa from Temecula thing is built to be a recurring thing. And I don't get why. I don't get why apparently people like this sketch so much. Because, I mean, the audience was definitely responding to it, so I guess I'm in the minority. But I don't get why they're trying to make this a recurring thing. It's like, stop trying to make Fetch happen, SNL.
Yeah, like, I mean, she comes in talking about how the bathroom has, you know, that good soap.
Yeah.
And, you know, she actually did something nice and paid for the table. She, like, yeah. You know, and she was like, oh, thank you, that's so nice of you. But then she got back the check. And it turned out that they added gratitude.
Yeah.
When she already tipped them.
Yeah. So she starts erasing on the check with her erasable pen instead of cutting her steak. So she has a completely different reason for shaking the table, people.
Right. Switching
it
up.
It's a totally new sketch now.
Yeah, I think that's
reinvigorated by this change.
I think that's the thing. Like, the character kind of is too. Reliant on things like that, like, you know, violently shaking the table
on things on that one thing. That, I mean, well, that and also, like, yeah, she assumes that people are coming on to her when they're not,
right?
And she was like, oh, you want to ride me, or wasn't that how she phrased it?
Yeah, because she ate 32 habanero wings and she is not riding him.
I think the character's fine. I just don't find her that funny. So,
yeah. And then we have Keenan coming out as the manager saying, hey, you guys got to get out of here. You're causing a disturbance. And we found out that you've been, you pointing to Lisa saying you've been stealing soap from our bathroom.
Right.
And then
she pulls out like a nearly empty hand soap dispenser. She's like, no, I brought this with me.
Yeah. She got it from Walgreens.
Yeah.
Because she's mispronouncing Walgreens, John.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
I don't know. I don't get the Lisa from Temecula thing anymore. I don't.
It must be an acquired taste. Because, like, at that one point, she says, well, why do we have to leave? Because of our disability. You know, because he is Negro divergent. And he points to Bowen, who is cracking up. Like,
yeah. And again, I felt like the cast was way more amused by it than anyone else was. Yeah, Bowen is cracking up, and then, you know, Trost and Brolin are kind of going too, and yeah, I'm like, well, they're having fun at least.
Yeah, and then of course it ends with Lisa saying her catchphrase, but when she sees the wings, like, oh, like I'm suing this place because these wings ain't even cooked right. I want you to, so everybody say it, cook my meat.
Is that her catchphrase?
Cook my meat. Yeah, that's kind of her catchphrase. Because she said in the first one, she's like, I like my steak burnt to a crisp. Cook my meat. And that kind of inadvertently
became... I never considered that distinctive enough to be a catchphrase, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, she said it in the first sketch and in this sketch, so I feel like they're trying to make it a catchphrase, like something that'll look good.
Like, honestly, this felt like, you know, one of those things that you would put in a movie with a fake SNL of, like, a not especially funny recurring character.
It's, yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. Like, I mean, I found the sketch amusing enough, but at the same time, I can also admit that, yeah, like, I don't think there's not much to the character of Lisa.
Yeah, there's not much there.
Yeah, there's not much there.
I personally would be fine never seeing Lisa from Temecula ever again. I think the first sketch is sort of amusing just because, largely because the cast breaks for real. But again, I don't think that's a thing you can duplicate. And I think that was the real reason that people responded to it the first time. I don't think it's because the character was so brilliant.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lightning in a bottle type of thing. Like, it only worked the first time because it just went so off the rails and the cast was breaking and having so much fun with it.
Yeah, like Debbie Downer. Yeah.
Yeah, like Debbie Downer. But when you try to replicate and recreate that same type of spontaneity, it just comes across as unnatural and, like, forced.
Yeah, I agree.
So you don't get the same punches that you did before.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if it were up to me, we wouldn't bring back Lisa from Temecula. We wouldn't have brought back Debbie Downer. Hell, we wouldn't have brought back David S. Pumpkins, but...
Ooh, damn, yo!
I'm just saying, you know, some things you can't duplicate.
Fair enough. Yeah. And also, as you mentioned, Moulin Rouge was written by Gates, Yang, and Yim. Celestian.
All right. Not a shocker.
it reeks of Yim. So,
it has that Yim stink all over it.
Absolutely. But
no, I am sure Celestian smells delightful.
Yes.
A good night's, you know, we see Black Widow hugging Thanos, which I thought was kind of cute.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
They made up.
Scarlett Johansson has like a lot of ear piercings. I don't think I ever realized she has so many ear piercings.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
There's something I noticed watching the Good Nights. It's like, a lot of earrings in those ears, Scarlett.
Hey, man.
Not a criticism, just an observation.
Hey, man. She's lived a life.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's making that multiple earring money, yo.
Oh, wow. Like, I can afford 3 ear piercings.
Yes.
My ship has come in.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's the episode. Overall, definitely a weird one.
Yeah.
But not a bad one. Not a bad episode, I'll say.
I thought it was okay. Again, sort of similar to the Sydney Sweeney one. It's nothing that blew me away in a big way. I'd say my favorites would be the people-pleasing support group and the shrimp tower.
I'll go with that. Those were the ones that I kind of really did get a kick out of.
Those,
I like
the ones that tickled my funny bone the most.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do like it when they take chances like that, like take big swings. I mean, yeah. I mean, like shrimp tower and I'll even say like wine and cheese those are two pretty big swings. As far as sketch goes, and I appreciate that. Like, I like that they're trying to really get into the weird.
I'd like to see them try different stuff.
Yeah, absolutely too. But overall, not a bad episode. I'd say this was all right.
Yeah, it was decent. Yeah, I mean, Brolin's a good host, and I like how thoroughly he commits himself to stuff. And I think Scarlett Johansson just, you know, blew it out of the water in the cold open. She was great. I wasn't hoping for stunt casting. I actually like tweeted earlier this week, last thing SNL ever needs is stunt casting, but I'll give the devil its due. She did a great job.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
And, you know, probably got some more buzz out of it than any of the regular cast members could have done, which is, you know, why they do the stunt casting. So
that's true.
I mean, I guess Lorne knows what he's doing.
Man, the mastermind. Let the maestro work.
Let the man cook.
Let him cook.
All right. Let's see what the people had to say.
Yeah, let's go into Twitter and see what the Twitter folks say.
Okay, we got Jacob at darkmatter_362. He has some thoughts. He says, number one, no, please don't destroy with Brolin. There's a little sad face there, which, yeah, I agree. I would have liked to see what they would have done. He says, cold open. I don't usually like the cold opens. This was no exception, though. Get out. Keenan got a chuckle. Monologue. Had to look up the poem he wrote. Weird. Robbery. Should have been more uncomfortable. I wonder how he would have made that more uncomfortable. I don't
believe that.
I see what you're saying, but I don't know where you could have gone to make that even more uncomfortable. Like, could they have gotten into a further state of undress? Oh, God damn it. Still there?
Yep, I'm here. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, lost connection for a moment. So I guess I stopped recording there, but, so let me just backtrack my thought a little bit. You know, I don't know how you could have made that sketch even more uncomfortable. Airplane, meh. Therapy, it was good or not. I agree with John on this one. Aha, I see what you did there, but it just so happens that I like, blind acquiescence to my opinions. So yeah. But yeah, I enjoy your meta commentary there, Jacob.
Very nice.
Let's see, his second tweet of his thoughts. Cat, relatable. I guess you're a cat owner. Shrimp, Python meets Sarah, little heart. Shonda, if Horace, pick below, can eggplant emoji, this guy has no excuse. And it's Bill Hader's character from where he was the guy in the motorized wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
And where, Cecily basically like got on top of him and mounted him because it was when the Viagra kicked in and he was running his motorized wheelchair. That was such a funny sketch.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. He says, weekend update. I usually like Che more. Ouch. Ouch.
Damn.
Shots fired at Che.
Pew, pew, pew.
Mulan, last two dated movie sketches were better. We are doing a lot of, you know, reaches back to old movies lately.
Yeah, it was like Air Bud and the like. It's like, yeah, we're...
Yeah, I feel like we're just getting, you know, privy to somebody's Netflix account or something.
Yeah, the Forrest Gump one on the Shane Gillis episode. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Subs, decently dub. Dumb. Decently dumb. Lisa, the cast enjoyed it more than I did, and I like Lisa. Overall, 2.5 out of 5.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair one. Boardman gets paid. Lee Hot Lion saying, what it do, young bloods?
People still aren't saying young bloods enough. Let's bring that back, people.
Come on, people. Get that hashtag trending.
Yeah.
I love this.
Call more people young bloods.
Yes. I love this episode. It had great energy, a few unhinged sketches, wine, airplane, and shrimp. Yeah. Ariana Grande stole that sketch just like she steals all her relationships. Damn, from their wives.
Is that a thing she does? Is she like dated married men or?
She's dating a guy now, I believe, who he was married.
Okay.
And then they started dating and now they're separated and it's kind of unclear as to.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds messy.
Yeah. I think the guy was, he played SpongeBob SquarePants in the SpongeBob musical. And, okay. Yeah. And like he was married. And yeah, it seems like he was still married when he was going with Ariana, and of course now it's pretty messy. It's pretty messy.
I had no idea. I have not kept track of any of her love life since the breakup of the Pete Davidson engagement.
Yeah, no, she's a lot of messiness happening there. And looks like Lisa.
She's just a little wisp of a thing too. She looked like when she walked out during the support group sketch. I was like, she is so small. She looks like she's going to blow away.
She is so, yeah. Like, I forget how,
She's a tiny person.
I gotta see how tall she is now.
Yeah, she's just a little wisp of a woman.
Yeah, because I mean, she just turned 30, but she don't look no 30.
No, she looks. I mean, she could still pass for a teenager, honestly.
No, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Boardman gets paid saying, and looks like Lisa from Temecula is here to stay. Love you guys. Oh, we love you, Boardman. Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't, I guess, I don't know if Boardman is very pleased if Lisa from Temecula is here to stay or not, but,
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's saying that in celebration or,
I don't know if there's, you know, much more blood in that stone, you know?
Yeah. They got to find a new way to sort of reinvent it or like, come at it from a different angle, show some layers or depth to the character.
Can't just keep doing the table shaking and you want to get with me and ass cracking up. I mean, that's
cook my meat.
Yeah.
Also Ariana Grande, 5'2".
Jeez.
Yeah, yep. She's a little one.
That's a tiny person, yes. Mm-hmm. Our friend Techie at Uncle Scrooge Duck without the U says, was this a classic Krusty ep? Because this was pretty rough.
Ooh.
Wine and Cheese Night had the most laughs. Would have liked to see Josh Brolin in a game show scene to liven it up. Also, ScarJo is great, but again, you don't have a white person to play this character. Like when Jim Carrey was dropping in for Biden. Wonder who her in is. Her in with the show is. I don't know. That's a mystery. I mean.
Yeah. Who knows how she was able to finesse this coveted spot.
I mean, if you know, maybe someday science will uncover who Scarlett Johansson's connection is with the SNL people.
Yes. Who is her plug?
Yeah. Don't know.
Don't know. But overall, I thought this episode was okay, decent, you know, serviceable, not bad.
You have any other mild compliments for this episode, Darren?
Meh.
Okay.
I'll say that.
All right. So, that's it for this week's SNL. They did announce yet another host coming up.
Yes. So they're taking the next 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. And they'll be back on March 30th with Rami Youssef as host and musical guest Travis Scott. Interesting choice, just because I really feel like not a lot of people know who Rami Youssef is. It's almost like another Gerard Carmichael thing.
Yeah.
I actually know who he is just because I do enjoy his stuff quite a bit. So for those who don't know...
I've seen some of his stuff, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, Rami Youssef, he's a comedian who from the great state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He has an HBO special out, and he has like another one coming up by the end of this month. And he is the creator and star of the TV show Rami on Hulu, which is it's a pretty decent show. It's I enjoy it quite a bit. Like he plays because Rami himself he is a Muslim, so he just plays like a kind of this young Gen Z or millennial just trying to kind of make his way as somebody who believes deeply in the Muslim faith, but also trying to make his way in this modern day world and just trying to find his enlightenment and spirituality, but at the same time, like kind of also like liking to keep up with like sort of modern day things. Like, you know, he prays and stuff, but at the same time, he also likes to, maybe hook up with some, hipster white girls in Brooklyn. Like, so it's sure. it's a lot of that. It kind of had the same vibe as like Louis, actually. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it reminds me of Louis, where he kind of finds himself in these awkward sort of cringy situations. I enjoy it quite a bit. I believe the show also won a Golden Globe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do remember it winning during the Golden Globe. So
yeah, so he's done that. He's done a lot of directing behind the scenes. He directed an episode of The Bear. And he most recently starred in the movie Poor Things with Emma Stone. So, yeah, that's he's done some stuff.
Got a lot of buzz, you know. Like that's up for a few Oscars this evening, I believe. So,
yeah, I'm definitely going to – I mean, it's on Hulu now, so I'm definitely going to give it a look-see. But, Rami Youssef, very interesting pick. I feel like a lot of people don't quite know who he is, even though he's done a good amount of stuff. So this will kind of be a nice introduction to for a lot of people, I think.
For a neat Bergazzi-style breakout, perhaps.
Perhaps. And, yeah, Travis Scott, I don't have much to say about him. He's like, I don't know. The more all these newer rappers come out, like, the more I can't connect to this new rap anymore, and I don't get it. It just sounds like kind of mumble rap, emo, auto-tuned, garbledy nonsense, and I just can't.
Travis Scott should get off your lawn.
Yes, exactly. Get off my lawn, shaking my cane. Get out of here, you youngsters. I have to go watch my stories. Matt Luck.
You are going to talk to the manager.
Exactly. Let me speak to your manager.
The manager of rap.
Yes. Pull your pants up. Where's your man? But I'm looking forward to it mainly because I do enjoy Rami Youssef, and I think he's genuinely a funny dude. And who knows? Maybe he'll do some writing or help with the writing with some of these sketches. You know, he can totally do that. Maybe he'll come up with some interesting ways to talk about what's happening in the Gaza right now in the Middle East. So, but
I hope we have some funny make-em-ups.
Oof. Yes, absolutely. So, March 30th, Rami Youssef, Travis Scott.
So what are we doing in the meantime, Darren?
In the in-between time, we got a couple of things lined up. As many of you know, or the devotees to the SNL Nerds show, my birthday is coming up. Yay!
The middle of March. This is true. Yeah.
That's when it occurs. The big 4-7. So, if you remember last year, we decided to do an episode of SNL that came out on my birthday. We did the Sting episode from 97, I believe. So, I feel like let's continue with that tradition, and let's talk about the Salma Hayek-hosted episode from March 15th, 2003, the year I turned 26. Bam!
Oh, your heyday.
My heyday is, before I met the wife, when I was just out here, young and crazy, single in these streets, and just
out there crushing puss.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus! I mean, no.
What, am I wrong?
You're so wrong. Absolutely.
I was talking to.
Heavily drinking, singing at karaoke bars, and crying myself to sleep.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I meant.
Absolutely. So, we're going to watch it. It's up on Peacock right now. So, yeah, it's the Salma Hayek episode, musical guest. I believe that's Christina Aguilera. It's March 15, 2003. So tune in and join us for that.
All right. And once again, looking at a retro episode of SNL.
Let's do the time warp again.
Yeah, we'll find out what was going on 20 years ago, 21 years ago. Wow.
Damn. Hey.
Anyway, so that's what's going on the next week. So we'll hope you join us for that. But until then.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, we got to plug in stuff, right.
We got to plug in stuff, man. Come on, you know the game.
Okay, yeah. All right, let's plug in stuff. You can follow us on the socials at SNL Nerds Show.
Yeah,
and you can follow me on the socials at Trumbull Comic, TRUMBULL, and the word comic.
And you can follow me on the socials at Darren Credible. That's DARIN Credible.
Yeah. Wish him a happy birthday, folks.
Yeah, do that. Happy birthday. I accept, tweets, money, money. Please, money.
And speaking of money, go ahead and contribute to our Patreon. Go over to non-productive.com and contribute a little money over there and just let them know that you're doing it because of the SNL Nerd Show, because you love us so.
Yeah, or you could just give the money to me, like meet me in the park. Unmarked bills, no cops, and I will make sure it gets to the non-pro people.
He's trustworthy like that. Yeah,
yeah, that's the ticket. I'll be the one in the trench coat with the collar up and in the fedora.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, very spy versus spy. That's what I'm going for.
Yes.
All right, and I guess that's it.
So, now we're done?
Now we're done.
Well, also, now you want me to say the thing?
Now I want you to say the thing.
I don't know if I want to say the thing now.
Oh, John, come on.
What if I don't say the thing and we just, like, awkwardly sit here for the next 10 minutes? We have nothing more to say to each other.
Frank will have no idea where to edit then.
Yeah, I mean, he could just cut us off in mid-word or something like that. But you're right. I'll take pity on him. So join us next week when we're doing the Salma Hayek episode.
Salma Hayek.
But until then,
nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.